الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله
الصلاة والسلام عليك
يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله
وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا رسول
الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله
الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله
وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله
وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله
My dear Islamic brothers and viewers of the Madri channel, welcome to this episode of Street Life. And inshallah, in this episode of Street Life, in this silsila, we're going to discuss those topics that are affecting the youth of today on virtually every street corner. But inshallah, before we discuss and introduce the topic, we're going to begin with the blessing of reciting Durood Pak upon the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It is narrated that the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has said that all people, without doubt, the one to attain salvation quickly on the day of judgment from its horrors and accountability will be the one amongst you who will have recited Salat upon me in abundance in the world. Sallu ala al-Habib.
Sallallahu ala
al-Habib. My dear Islamic brothers and viewers of the channel, and so without further ado, we're going to ask Hafiz Saab to recite some verses of the Quran and also ask him to give us the translation as well. Ji Hafiz Saab.
A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يا أيها الذين آمنوا إنما الخمر والميسر والأنصاب والأزلام رجس من عمل الشيطان فاجتنبوه لعلكم تفلحون العداوة والبغضاء في الخمر والميسر ويصدكم عن ذكر الله وعن الصلاة فهل أنتم منتهون آمنت بالله صدق الله العظيم
Translation from Kanzul Iman. O people who believe, wine and gambling and idols and the darts are impure, the works of shaitan. Therefore keep avoiding them so that you may succeed. The devil only seeks to instill hatred and enmity between you with wine and gambling, and to prevent you from the remembrance of Allah Azza wa Jal and from prayer. So you have desisted. Sadaqallahu al-Azim.
My dear Islam brothers and viewers of Madani channel, you've just listened to a few verses of the Holy Quran with the translation. My dear Islam brothers and viewers of Madani channel, we need to make a habit of reading the Quran on a daily basis. Amir al-Sunnat in his Madani Namaz Qadi guides us and instructs us to read at least three verses of the Quran with the commentary, with the translation on a daily basis. And inshallah, by making this a habit, you'll see a change in yourself and a change in the people around you as well. Before we actually introduce the topic in this episode of Street Life, we're going to listen to a naat in praise of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and then we'll get onto the topic. Ji Huzoor, what have you got for us today?
Sallu al-Habib, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. حبیب خدا کا نظارہ کروں میں، حبیب خدا کا نظارہ کروں میں، دل و جان پر نثار کروں میں، حبیب خدا کا نظارہ کروں میں، دل و جان پر نثار کروں میں، ایک جان کیا
My dear Islamic brothers and viewers of Madani Channel, you are watching Street Life. As we mentioned at the beginning of the program, in Street Life we discuss those topics that are affecting those people that are on the street, which is invariably the youth. And many things are happening to the youth today, and you know we need to realize what is happening and try to come up with a solution. At the beginning, Hafiz Saab recited a few verses of the Quran, and in it he mentioned that gambling is a work of shaitan. And that gambling is also there for shaitan to put enmity between ourselves. So the topic that we're going to discuss today is gambling. And it's such a wide and varied topic. And it's one of those topics that's not just affecting those people that are on the street. Our youth of today that they're wandering and you know, they're doing these sort of things. But it's affecting every aspect of our life. And so really it's such a topic that, and obviously I don't know where we're going to start with this topic, because it's not only affecting those people that are on the street, it's affecting people that are on the home, it's affecting people that have got this, you know, this PC tablet in front of you. It's affecting every single person can be affected by this. And, you know, I'm going to use the word again, epidemic. It can be affected by, every single person can be affected by this. And I, really I don't know where to start on this one, to be honest.
Well, I mean, how does it start? It starts often with just a little bit of trying, a little bit of musty, you could say. You know, a little bet here and there, a little bit of, and it gives an enjoyment, doesn't it? Because there's a risk. You're putting money on the line, you're putting something on the line, and there's
a buzz.
Chance, a buzz. I might win, I might lose. And, you know, the first time you might lose 10 pence, £1, £5, £10. The problem with gambling in is that it slowly, slowly hooks you in. If you win, yeah, that's hooked you in, because you're going to always think that I've won once, I can always win again.
I can repeat it again.
Achha, but even if you lose, you're still going to get hooked. Why? Mm. Because there's always this thing, well, I've lost this time, that means next time I might win.
Yeah.
The time after that, I might win. The time after that, I might win. So this gambling is in a tense.
I've got to make back what I've lost as well.
Yes, yeah, exactly. So it's a bit, it's a nasha, isn't it, in a sense? So it hooks you in and it hooks you in. And you're right, it's not just youngsters.
There's so many gambling places out there who are giving money free.
Yeah.
You know, it's like they're throwing that bait inside.
Yeah.
You know, and they, for example, they'd be saying, you know, £500 free to play.
Yeah.
But that £500 isn't free. Yeah. Nothing comes for free.
No, it doesn't. And, you know, and it's not just youngsters. It's you'll hear of, or you'll know people who are married, family, kids, job, everything. But, you know, they've had this habit for a long time and they just can't kick it. And, you know, the point you mentioned is very important. Back in the days, there was a time when if you wanted to gamble, you used to go to the local bookies, and there was an element of embarrassment.
What's a bookie? I mean, there'll be people out there that are not from UK or are from up north where you are, lad, that don't understand what a bookie is. So
a gambling shop.
Okay.
A gambling shop. And back, you know, in those days, it would be embarrassing to have your car parked in the car park, so you wouldn't want to be seen walking in and out. These days, gambling has become so accessible, yeah, that you can gamble on your mobile phone, you can gamble on your tablet. Every second advert you'll see on social media is for a gambling, yeah? And they want to bring you in with a £100 free bet, etc., etc. So there are so many ploys out there to entice you, and once you're in, it has the potential in it to destroy a person, to destroy that person's family.
It just, you know, you just mentioned that. It just really makes me think that if you're running any business, yeah, I'm running any business, you know, I've got a takeaway, I've got whatever business, why would I give you £100? I'm running a business here. Why am I giving money away for free?
You're not really, are you?
I'm not.
No.
So, you know, this is a question that we need to ask ourselves. If they are giving us, and I've seen it, I've seen these advertisements where, you know, they're giving you £100 to play bingo. They're giving you £500 to pay this, play this game. You know, there's a question that we need to ask ourselves, and all of us that are watching today, we need to ask ourselves, why are they giving you this money? Yeah, they're a business. They're not a charity, they're running a business there. So that £100, when they give you that £100, when they give you that £200, £500, or whatever it is, they know that by giving you, by the time you spend that £100 on £1 bets or £5, they've hooked you in. They've hooked you in, and you know that buzz that you've got for that period of time, they're going to get that money back, and they're going to get more of you.
I mean, the question here is, look, in Islam, gambling is prohibited, forbidden. You know, no question, it's haram. It's quite a strict stance, it could be said, you know, very strict stance that gambling is haram. And the reason is, you know, our deen, Islam, protects us from all of those dangers that come with gambling. Gambling was rife, you know, in the Zaman al-Jahiliyyat, yani the time of ignorance. Gambling was rife. Maybe, obviously, they didn't have gambling shops and things as we do these days, but there were different forms of gambling in them days.
Yeah.
And gambling was rife at that time. And the effects, you could say, the destruction it causes is probably the same as what it causes today. And because Islam is a complete way of life, Islam has not just, you know, come to transform an individual, but it transforms society, make a better society. Therefore, Islam prohibited gambling?
I think one thing mentioned you were saying was different types of gambling. There's so many types of gambling out there that people don't even know that they're gambling. Mm. You know, it might be friends betting on something.
I think that's what we need to talk about, really. What actually is gambling? Mm. You know, some people might look at, you know, well, I've studied the form of these horses. And, you know, I studied, I've researched, I've watched the form of these football teams, and I know that there's a good chance that they're going to win. And they don't think it's gambling.
Mm. I think, you know, if you look at one form of gambling, the national lottery, you know, it's so common out there that, you know, not even youngsters, is affecting the old age as well. One of the brothers were telling me that he went into a post office where, you know, sadly they had a lottery machine as well. And in that, you know, there was an old guy, about 65 years old, he was a Muslim. And, you know, he was there, you know, queuing up to, you know, put his numbers down for the national lottery. Now, the sad fact is that, again, is because of lack of Islamic knowledge. Now, when he was putting them numbers down, ma'azallah, ma'azallah, thumma ma'azallah, he was saying, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, inshallah, I'm going to get the numbers there. Now, Amir al-Sunnah has written in the blessings of Bismillah that according to Fatawa Alamgiri, the one who reads Bismillah before drinking alcohol, fornicating or gambling, he has committed kufr. Mm-hmm. You know, and that brother, he says that I did try to tell him, but, you know, again, you know, he says, what would you do?
But again, there might be people out there say, well, it's only a pound. See, mate, it's only a pound. Mm-hmm. What's wrong with that?
What's the dream of being rich? You want luxury.
What's wrong with dreaming?
It's aspiration, but, you know, for every... the attraction of being rich and seeing these millionaires and stuff like that. And, you know, the odd person is there will win. Yeah? Mm. Somebody will become a millionaire. But for everyone that becomes a millionaire...
In a minute, we'll talk about those people that do become millionaires as well.
There's millions others who lose.
Yes.
Yeah? So, when you say there's two sides to the coin, I think that's not a fair assessment. You know, this coin, if we were to use that phrase, there's one side to it, which is one person winning, and there's millions on the other side who have lost.
And you know what goes into a person's mind at that time? He goes, well, I'm going to build the biggest masjid in our area.
Yeah.
So and so often I'm going to make sure that they have a good hospital. So the shaitan, he always whispers these kind of things. Like, look, you're doing it for a good cause. It's
doing
all right.
A good cause.
Even though, you know, even that is a haram as well.
Many years ago, I remember there was some news about probably one of the first Muslims that made, you know, a big win. And the story was that he'd made, I can't remember how many millions he'd won on the lottery. And, you know, he had, I don't know how many brothers. Yeah, so he thought to himself, right, I'm going to go home and I'll give 1 million to this brother, 1 million to this brother, 1 million to this brother, 1 million to this brother. And so he goes home with this good intention, so to speak, if that's what you want to call it. And he gets home and he tells his wife, and his wife says, you dare do anything like that, yeah? This money's ours, you know, we're giving it to our children. And to cut the long story short, within a couple of weeks, the brothers that I know that were in that town, they said that they saw him sitting in the masjid, in the corner, crying and wishing that he'd never won the lottery. You know, he just won millions of pounds, and he was crying because he said, this money has ruined my life.
Yeah. Yeah.
Everything I had has been ruined. I've lost my wife, I've lost my kids, I've lost my brothers, because I'd made a promise to my brothers and never gone on that promise. And everything, he just lost it all, and he said, this money's been a curse for me. I wish I'd never done it. So, yeah, you know, we might think that he's won X number of millions of pounds, and, you know, he's got a, as they say, a life of Riley now. You know,
yeah,
he's,
my life's going to be sorted now.
My life's going to be sorted. Well, it was sorted. In his case, it was sorted.
The question is, the wider question, isn't it? Does money bring happiness?
Well, yeah, there is some truth in that. It doesn't always bring happiness, and there's proof, really.
There was a case about an older guy who won the lottery. As soon as he heard that all his six numbers have come up, you know, he was so happy. He had a heart attack and he died. Yeah. You know, so...
On the flip side of that, he had a heart attack following that he just committed the sin of gambling.
Mm.
And being happy at being successful in committing that sin.
Mm.
So, you know, only Allah knows what the state of that person will be.
Mm-hmm.
That at the time of death, you just committed a sin. And at the time of death, not only have you committed a sin, but you're happy in committing that sin. And that happiness is what caused you death.
And, you know, there's a lot of... you know, institutions and companies that are propping up today, and they're targeting, you know, especially we're talking about youngsters, you know, and these youngsters are always in danger, and they're targeting these youngsters. And I, you know, being in the Mahol, you talk to these youngsters, and so many of them, you know, they've said that, yeah, We haven't played the lottery, but we have gambled.
Football, for example.
You know, there was a game that they were one of the lads was saying is that we used to get money from home, a pound or something, and we used to throw it near the wall. Whoever pound is near the wall, he gets the pound. So you know, even kids are playing these games, and sadly, you know, the parents are encouraging them. Oh, it's harmful fun. We're the ones who giving them that money. So, you know, the shaitan always, you know, keeps on whispering in their minds that what you're doing is okay.
The problem is that the public, when we see something common, it's happening out there, everyone's doing it, we think that's right.
Yeah.
But our mindset should be different. We are Muslims, alhamdulillah. Yeah. We need to know, we should look at it from the frame of mind of as a Muslim.
Yeah.
What does Sharia, what does Islam say about this?
And what is Islam saving us from? Yeah. I'm thinking that some of the stories you read, there was one guy in a city famous for gambling for his casinos and stuff. And that guy, you know, he betted, wants the money back, next time lost it. And, you know, that environment encourages you to gamble all night. And he gambled all night. And he says that in that one night, he lost 4 million currency, whatever country he was from. 4 million he lost that night. And the story hit the papers. Why? Because that following morning, the early hours of the morning, he'd been gambling all night, he went into the local woods and he shot himself, he killed himself.
Yeah.
Look what, and then we started with the point that Islam is forbidden, it's haram. Look at what deen is saving us from.
Yeah? There's a reason from, for it being haram.
Earlier we mentioned that it's a work of shaitan. How is it the work of shaitan?
You know, it's because the shaitan, you know, I assume that the shaitan, because, you know, the wider picture, the shaitan doesn't want our money, he doesn't want, the thing he's after is our iman. He wants our iman, and these are the ways or the traps of the shaitan that he'll put you into that trap. And then a person, you know, he'll keep on
falling. It takes you away from your deen, doesn't it?
Yeah.
I've taken the gambling person, every time he gets a bit of money. I mean, it's sometimes family men, isn't it? People at home, they've got family and everything to look after. They've got futures to invest in. You know, their kids might go to university. They could buy a bigger house. But every time they have spare money, that person, he could spend that on his kids. He could spend that on his family. He could spend that on his parents. But what is he doing? He's going and spending that at the bookie.
It's a drug.
Yeah.
It's a drug.
Yeah.
You know, mentioning that he might have lost everything at home, but there are some people out there who even better on their children and wives. They've lost everything. You know, and you know, the thing is, we need to understand when Allah Ta'ala mentions in the Quran that, you know, the rijsu min amali shaitan, that this is the amal of the shaitan, and inna shaitana lil insani aduvun mubin, shaitan is our open enemy. That should be enough for us to, you know, to bring us back. You know, but again, because the shaitan, he wants something, you know, more important than our money or this. He wants our iman. And we need to understand. And then, you know, how a person will start going into this. You know, I know of an Islamic brother, alhamdulillah, he's mashallah, been away from this. Because of coming into the mahol of Dawat Islami, he's understood, he's realized.
I think one important aspect that you brought to the topic earlier on was that as Muslims, we need to differentiate between what is acceptable within society and what is acceptable within the deen of Islam. And a topic like gambling, in many societies in the West, there's nothing wrong with it.
Nothing wrong.
It's not illegal to gamble.
It's promoted.
I mean, every time there's a big football match, every time there's a big cricket match, you know, they talk about the odds. Because it's so kind of ingrained that people will be betting on this. And it's linked, isn't it, with things that... So a lot of youngsters are really into sport. Yeah, cricket, football, these kind of things. And look how, you know, closely associated gambling is with sport. And, you know, it's that thing, isn't it, that that's where you might get hooked in. And look at where it could potentially lead. That even when you want to leave, you can't leave it. The one of the reasons why people get hooked on is because it's just a little tryout, it's a little musty, answering your first question. One of the other reasons is love for dunya. You know, this dream, this hope that one day I'm going to be rich, I'm going to be a millionaire, and there's going to be a brand new car parked in my drive. Yeah, easy money and all this. So love for muhabbat for maal, for dunya. Yeah, and here there's a hadith park of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that I want to share with you. Narrated by Sayyidina Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu. He says that I heard Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saying that the heart of an old man remains young in two respects. His love for the world, yani its wealth, amusements and luxuries, and his incessant hope for the future. And Admi gets old, his heart remains young in two things, love for dunya and his hope. is incessant hope. And you left for dunya, and this is one of the things, isn't it, that leads you to other ways, or you think, well, I'm only earning a set wage from my factory job, from my 9-to-5 in the call center. I'm never going to become a millionaire like this.
You know, it's such a bad thing that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he mentions in one of the hadiths, the mafhum is that the one who gambles is like dipping his hand in the flesh and blood of a swine. And that's how, you know, a suwar, a pig. No one wants to associate themselves with a pig, but the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he says that that person is such a filthy person that he's put his hand in the flesh and blood of a pig.
And the other thing as well, you know, everything else said about the side effects and the consequences, stuff like that. You know, Tika, you win from it. Yeah? It's haram money. You know, you're going to feed haram to your children. But you're going to wear haram.
The thing is, Wasim, but I don't think people win in that sense. You know, I was just thinking now that, you know, we've just in recent years, we've had an economic slide all around the world, and people have gone out of business. How many bookies, as you call them, have gone out of business? How many gambling shops have gone out of business?
They've increased, Khalid.
Exactly, they don't. None of them go out of business. They don't. You never hear that a bookmaker's gone bankrupt. You never hear that a gambling shop's gone bankrupt. You never hear that someone has got these, you know, fruit machines, as they call them. I mean, that's it just makes you think, fruit machines. They call them fruit machines. You never hear that they've gone bankrupt.
In fact, I mean, if you look at studies since the recession, in high streets, in town centres, shops have closed, businesses have gone out of business, and often what has replaced them is gambling.
Gambling places.
And then, you know, with the shops on the high street, now because, you know, they were saying that they've done a research, where, you know, is it that they can target the people? And it's like you said, on your mobile phone, so everything's there on the mobile phone.
Yeah, but I think this proves one of the early points that we were making, which is that gambling is a drug. Recession's happened, people have cut back. You spend less on luxuries, you go to the supermarket, and when you used to get the top brand, you get the slightly lower brand. Why? Because your wages have increased. Inflation is gone up. Your wages have increased, so you've got less money in your pocket, so you spend less. Okay, how is it that in that environment, gambling shops are on the increase? Because you're not in control there.
But then gambling shops give you that hope.
The sense would say, look, you've got less money, don't gamble it. You can't waste it. But what is it? It's a drug, isn't it? It's this thing, oh, well, I might win.
There's another concerning issue that we need to tackle as well. That as a general public, we don't see it as a problem. Because in our society it's legal, we don't see it as an issue. We don't see that it's happening. But in reality, it is happening. And we don't, like for example, alcohol, drugs and weed, whatever. We know that's an issue. We are already concerned. But with gambling, we don't take it that way.
But you know, the thing is, once you mention it, in Alhamdulillah, Dawat-e-Islam is one of those organizations that identifies problems, talks about them openly, and provides solutions as well. And we've attended ijtimaas of Dawat-e-Islam where this has been mentioned, it's been discussed. And you know, when it is discussed, you'll get some brothers who'll come up to you at the end, and they'll be like, you know what, so true what you were talking about. I was there, or my friend was there, and we've lost thousands, we've lost cars, we've lost houses. In gambling.
When we talked about drugs, and you said that the symptoms, that the symptoms are that the mood swings, the symptoms are that they're not spending time with the family, the symptoms are the health effects, the appetite, and all these things. What are the symptoms that we can look out for in gambling?
I think one of them is going to be, it's going to result in financial problems, isn't it? A person looking to borrow money.
They ask money, don't they?
Yes. Borrowing, looking to borrow money, taking money from here, there. And, you know, slowly, such people begin to get recognized. If there's a person, he asks for money from one person, but don't tell nobody. That person won't tell nobody.
They have a story as well. They make it feel that.
And then he'll say, I'll pay you back in 3 months. I promise you'll pay you back in 6 months, stuff like that. Tika, he won't tell anybody. He'll say, take the loss. Okay. He'll go and ask somebody else. You know, slowly, he'll probably ask the same people. And people talk. People live in the same area, etc. That person slowly will borrow up. And that is a sign. That is a sign of somebody who's not got control of his money. And I come back to that same point. You know, with anything else, everybody would look to have a brand new car. With air conditioning, with the latest sat-nav, with the latest, you know, leather seats and everything. But obviously you buy according to your pocket. You go into a supermarket and you only put that kind of things in the trolley that you know you have the money for in your wallet or on your card. Gambling is such a thing that it makes you do those things. You know you haven't got the money, but you'll find a way to get the money of somebody else so that you can gamble and satisfy this desire inside yourself.
I think that's where, when in terms of the dunya, look at the person below you.
Allah.
In terms of the deen, look at the person above you. You know, so when it's the dunya, You know, look at the person below you. Mm. You know, you're crying out for a good car. There's millions of people who, you know, cry for water.
Allah.
You know, we're crying for the latest tablet. There's people out there who don't even get food to eat.
Mm. Yeah.
You know, so always look below you. There's millions of people out there who are crying, who are in danger. So many millions of lives are lost every year because of starvation.
And if we learned to be content with what we have.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you know, if you look back in your life at that time when you had less, you might have not had the best car, you might have not had all of these facilities you have today, but you know, maybe back then life was more simple and probably life was happier.
Yeah. A lot of people talk about it. Even the youngsters now, you know, I've recently been to Pakistan and we had a group of youngsters and saying, you know, we've heard from our grandparents, you know, they had so much love.
Yeah.
And today, you know, I don't even talk to my brother.
Yeah.
You know, so there was not less money, but there was a lot of love.
Yeah.
The narration which comes to my mind, the summary of it is that there are two types of greedy people out there whose greediness does not finish. And the first type of people are those who are greedy for wealth.
Mm.
So the more wealth a person will have, the more he wants.
Mm, it's never enough. Mm-hmm.
And the other type of greedy person is a person who is greedy for knowledge. The more knowledge you will have, he wants more. The moon to climb.
Subhanallah. It's an ocean, isn't it, knowledge? Yes. I think coming towards kind of a conclusion, a summary, is that, you know, the temptation, of course it's a temptation, it's always going to be there to become rich instantly, yeah? But from my point of view, the thought I want to leave our viewers of Madani Channel with is that, okay, you might win, and the temptation might be there to buy that brand new car and a new house and some up for your parents, some up for your kids, or just not even use it yourself, invest it for somebody else. The question let's ask ourselves is, at the end of the day, this is haram money.
Yes.
Yeah? Mm-hmm. Do I really want to buy a new house for my parents? Do I really want to buy a nice car for them? Do I really want to send them to Hajj with, at the end of the day, haram money? Do I want to put haram money inside myself, inside my children? Yeah? And risk, yeah, you know, Allah na kare, that you get some problem in your life, or you have some situation, some illness, and then 10 years down the line you think, yeah, only if I didn't bring that haram money into the house.
So the effect of the haram money, you might not see it today, but you see it tomorrow.
Yeah.
My Islam brothers and viewers of Mother Channel, you've been watching Street Life, and today we've discussed the topic of gambling. And, you know, we realize that it's an easy fix sometimes. People may think it's an easy fix that we can make money very, very quickly. But as we've discussed today, and we've proven today, that money doesn't buy happiness. No. Yeah? And even if you do make that money, it doesn't guarantee you anything. My Islam brothers, one question I'd like to leave you with today, that if you were to leave your children with £1 million when you die, and when you get in that dark and lonely grave, how will that £1 million, you know, benefit you? Yeah? But if you leave your child with the love of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in his heart, if you leave your child that is living his life according to the Sunnah of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, if he's praying his nawaz 5 times a day in the masjid, and you leave him with very little wealth, just for argument's sake, you answer the question yourself: will you or will you not benefit in that dark and lonely grave? I think this is what we need to realize. We need to realize where our priorities are. Yes, we need money. Money is our majburi, yeah? Money isn't our maqsad. We need to live in this dunya, yes. You know, in the same way that a ship has to cross the sea, yes, we have to be in this dunya. But when the sea starts coming inside the ship, when the dunya starts coming inside the ship will sink. And this is what we need to realize, that yes, we are in this dunya. We have to live in this dunya. But we have to protect, ultimately, our iman.
I think one thing, Halid, I just want to add here. Okay, someone, inshallah, Azawajal, has been listening to this mukalama, this discussion, and he might be thinking, yeah, I did wrong. I'm not going to bet anymore. That's it. Whatever I've done is enough. But that's not enough, though.
Yeah.
You know, Allah Hazrat Imam Ahl Sunnah radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he writes that whatever money you have gambled and you won that money still stays haram. You need to get rid of that money.
My Islamic brothers and viewers of Mother Channel, you have been watching Street Life, in which we discussed those issues that are affecting not only the youth of today. You know, the aim was to discuss the topics that are affecting the youth today, but some of these topics are not only affecting the youth, they're affecting every sector of our community. I pray to Allah Azza that Allah Azza give us the ability and all of you to stay away from this sin.
Ameen.
And live our lives according to the Sunnah of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam.
Ameen
bi jahin nabiyil amin. Sallu ala al-habib
sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad.